I would like to dedicate today's shir l'ilui nishmas Shelley Miller, Harav Schneer Zalman, ben Harav Aaron Zelig, Zichrono Livracha. The last time I substituted for Rabbi Elephant, we learned Erevin Daf Ayin Tes. Shelley Miller attended that shir. It was a day before he was nifter. He was part of the OU's Daf Yomi Chabura. May this wonderful individual, beloved by all he came in contact with, be a Melech Yosher for his wife and family and all of Klal Yisrael. Yehi Zichroi Baruch. Today's shir is in Masechta Erevin on Daf Pei Vav. We will begin on Daf Pei Hei Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom, in the middle of the line, with the words Rabbi Yehuda Oimer. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Im Yesham Tfisas Yad, V'cholu. The Gemara here is referring back to our Mishnah, the last two lines of the Mishnah, where Rabbi Yehuda said, "Im yesham tfisas yad shel bal habayis eino oiser." Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about concerning eruve chatzeres. If the tenant did not want to join in the eruve chatzeres, and normally we would think that the tenant would aser all the other residents to carry because he's not part of the eruve chatzeres. Says Rabbi Yehuda that if the bal habayis has a tfisas yad, literally, His hands are holding, and what it means is he has some rights in the tenant's property. He has some furniture, as we'll see in the Gemara, exactly what that tfisas yad is. He has a right to leave, for example, his furniture there. So then, as Rashi explains in the Mishnah, it's really owned by the Baal HaBos, and the tenant is merely a guest of the Baal HaBos, but in that case, Eino Oyser, the tenant would not usher. Says the Gemara, Hechi Dami Tfisas Yad. What exactly does it mean that the Baal HaBos has a right in the property which the tenant is dwelling in? Says the Gemara, Kegoin Chatzeroi Shel as the Bachas Goyris Ben Bunyas. Like the Chatzer of Ben Bunyas, Rashi says he was a very rich man, and he used to lend out his various properties to the Aniyim. They would stay there, and even if they were not part of the Eruve Chatzeros, the tenants did not prohibit. The reason is because Ben Bunyas, being so rich, had many different pieces of furniture, and in each apartment, in each house, there was a piece of furniture that was owned by Ben Bunyas, and therefore, as Rabbi Yehuda just said in the Mishnah, Ben Bunyas had a tfisas yad in each residence, and therefore the tenant, even though he wasn't part of the Eruv HaChatzeres, would not aser. The Gemara relates that Asalik Hamed the Rebbe, that Ben Bunyas once came in front of Rebbe, Omar Lahu, as the Gemara later will tell us, that Rebbe is Mechabed Ashirim. Rebbe used to give honor to rich people, so Rebbe told his Talmidim, Panu Mokim, leave an area, give Ben Bunyas a Choshev place, because he's a very wealthy man, and who are you giving the Choshev place to? Leben Meyamoni, you're giving it to a person who owns 100 mana. There are in a mana 100 zuz, so if he owns 100 mana, it means he owns 10,000 zuz, which was a considerable sum of money in those days. So Rebbe is saying to his Talmidim, make place for this chashuv of a person. Asa in a shachrini, at that time another person who was also rich came, Omar Lahu, so Rebbe told his Talmidim, and now we turn to the Pei Vav Amad Aleph, Panu Mokim, as Rashi explains, make a even more chashuv of a place, since he was richer, or at least as we'll see, he looked richer, give a more prominent place to the second rich person, Leben Masayim Mona, because he owns 200 Mona, he owns 20,000 zuz. Amar Lefonov, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said in front of Rabbi, Rabbi, he addressed Rabbi, do you know how rich the first person, Ben Bunyas, is? Aviv Shalzeh, the father of this one, Rashi says, meaning Ben Bunyas, the father of Ben Bunyas, Yeshle Elif Sfinas Bayom. He has 1,000 boats in the ocean. He has a fleet, an armada. The Maratzchi says actually he didn't have 1,000, he was exaggerating, but he was trying to say he has a very large amount of boats. Ukenegd an Elifayoras Bayabosha, and he owns 1,000 cities in the dry land. In other words, he's much wealthier than the second person that you afforded more honor to actually Ben Bunyas and his father. They're much richer than the second person. Omar Loi, so the Gemara continues, Omar Loi, so Rebbe said to Rebbe Shmuel Bar Yosi, L'shitagia, Eitzel Aviv, when you meet up with his father, Amor Loi, tell his father, Al Tashgirehu Bekelem Halol Lufonai, don't send them wearing this clothing in front of me. In other words, as Rashi explains, the way he came shabbily dressed, he didn't play the part of being such a wealthy man. So next time, send him in appropriate clothing that he plays the part of actually being richer than the second individual who came. And then, of course, I'll afford him more honor. So the Gemara tells us something that we see obvious from this story, that Rebbe Mechaber Ashir, Rebbe used to give honor to rich people. And then the Gemara relates that Rebbe Akiva Mechaber Ashir, Rebbe Akiva likewise used to be Mechaber Ashir. Kedidorish Rava Bar Mori, as Rava Bar Mori darshaned a pasuk showing why there's an inyan to give honor to rich people. Yashav Oilam Lufnei Elokim Chesed VeEmes Manyan Saru. So there's a simple pshat in the pasuk that it's referring to giving honor to a king. The king should sit forever. The word oilam in the simple pshat means that he should sit forever in front of Hashem, and chesed v'emes should preserve him. However, Rav Bar Mori was saying a homiletical pshat. He was giving a drush in the pasuk, and he was learning the pshat as the Gemara continues. Amos ayeshiv oilam lefnei Elokim. When is the world settled in front of Hashem? In other words, oilam, according to the drush, does not mean forever, but rather oilam means the world. When is the world settled in front of Hashem? The answer is bisman shechesed ve'emes man yinsaru, when kindness and justice and truth is found, there's enough. The word man Rashi says means mezoinus, when there's enough provisions, or others say it comes from the word mon, the mon that fell in the midbar. When you provide for the aniyim, that itself preserves the world. So this gives us an understanding of why, in fact, Rebbe gave honor to rich people. The answer is because rich people are the mekayme olam. By providing for the poor, they preserve the world, and therefore they deserve to receive this honor. Others explain that Rebbe Mechaber Ashir meant that if there are two Talmidei Chachamim, and one Talmid Chacham besides being a Talmid Chacham, but he was, like the Gemara tells us about Rebbe, that he was Zoichel Shtei Shulchanos, that he had two tables, he had a table of wealth, and he also had a table of that he was Rebbe, the redactor of the Mishnah. So he's zocha to two worlds, Olam Hazeh and Olam Abba. So Rebbe would give more kavod to a Talmud Chacham who was also rich than the other Talmud Chacham. There's a very beautiful pshat that's brought down here by the Gilyon HaShas Rabbi Akiva Eiger at the bottom of the Gemara, the bottom left of our Amid, and he brings it down from the Lakute Maril, that he heard it from the Maram Segel, that why was Rebbe Mechaber Ashirim? Because Rebbe himself was rich, and Rebbe felt that if he gives honor to rich people, others will give him honor because he's rich. Rebbe didn't want to take advantage of the fact that he was a great Talmud Chacham as well, because then he would be using what we call the Keser Shel Torah. He would be using the crown of Torah, which we don't want to use. So rather than use the crown of Torah, he was Mechaber Ashirim, and others would learn from Rebbe to be Mechaber Rebbe, not for his Torah, but rather for his richness. And this way Rebbe, and likewise Rebbe Akiva, that we learned through the Gemara in Ksuba, says how Kalva Savua's father-in-law, when Rebbe Akiva finally became the great Rebbe Akiva, that his father-in-law gave him much richness, although initially he gave him nothing and threw him out of the house when he was Amoritz, but later he became a very wealthy man, Rebbe Akiva. So it could be, this I'm adding myself, it could be Rebbe Akiva was following what did the same as Rebbe, and that he was Mechaber Ashirim, so that he shouldn't take anything from the Keser Torah. There are those who ask, why does the Gemara say that Rebbe was Mechaber Ashirim and then Rebbe Akiva, when in fact Rebbe Akiva lived before Rebbe? And the simple pshat is that since we had just mentioned a story with Ben Bunyas and Rebbe, so the Gemara already said, following that story, that Rebbe was Mechaber Ashirim, but actually this precedent had already begun with Rebbe Akiva, who predated Rebbe. Continues the Gemara, Rabba Bar Bar Chana Omar Kegoin Yesed Shomach Risha. Now we go back to the Indian, what's called a Tfisas Ayad. When does a Balabayas have rights? What kind of rights does he need in order that the tenant should not prohibit on the other residents of the Chatzar if the tenant doesn't want to become part of the Eruvah Chatzeres? Kegoin Yesed Shomach Risha. Even if all that the owner has is a peg of a plow, and that's the only tool that he has in this tenant's house, that is sufficient that he has a Tfisas Yad, and the tenant is considered a guest of the Balabayas, and the tenant does not asur if he doesn't want to have part of the Eruve Chatzeres. And what Rabbi Rachana is coming to tell us is not like we learned before in the Gemara from Ben Bunyas, because Ben Bunyas, as we learned, had furniture in everybody's house. What he's trying to say is you don't need to have furniture. It's sufficient if all you have is a little tool like a peg of a machrisha. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman, Tanan de Beis Shmuel. We learned in the Beis Medrash of Shmuel. Dover hanitl b'Shabbos. If something is not muktzeh and you're able to move it on Shabbos, if that's what the Balabais has by the tenant, then oiser. Then the tenant would prohibit. There's a machloekes rishonim, who's going to move this muktzeh thing? Either the Balabais would move it, or the tenant himself could move it since it's not muktzeh. So since either the Balabais or the tenant could move this item that is owned by the Balabais out of the apartment, so that is considered that the Balabais does not have a Tfisas Yad in the tenant's residence, and therefore it belongs to the tenant, and therefore the tenant will asur if he doesn't want to be part of the Eruv Chatzeres. Dover she'ein in nitl b'Shabbos, however, something that is muktzeh that you cannot move around on Shabbos, so then the Balabayas has a Tfisas Yad that can't be destroyed on Shabbos, and then in fact eino oiser, the tenant does not asur because the Balabayas is considered to own this place. You can't move out my thing that I have in your residence, and you're merely a guest, and you will not asur. Tani nami hachu, we learned the same thing in a braisa. Yesh lo tavel. If the owner has in the residence something muktzeh like tevel, that's a grain that we did not give meiser from, and it's muktzeh, you can't move it on Shabbos. Yesh lo ashashes, or he has large metal bars. The chol dover she'en in nitl b'Shabbos, anything else that's muktzeh on Shabbos, the halacha is einoy oiser, that the tenant does not asur. There's a very interesting shaila brought up in the Shas and Shuvas Dvar of Rum, the Kovner Rav, that he says, and this is a practical shaila, if an owner rents out an apartment or a house, and very often he will rent with it a refrigerator or other such items, a stove or refrigerator, is that called that the Balabais has a Tfisas Yad? On the one hand, you could say, yes, it is a Tfisas Yad, because these pieces of equipment, of furniture, belong to the Balabais. But on the other hand, since they are rented out to the tenant for the tenant's use, perhaps the Dvar Avram says that's not considered a Tfisas Yad of the Balabais, because when is it a Tfisas Yad? When it belongs to the Balabais, and the Balabais is going to use it, or he's storing it there, but the tenant is not using it. If the tenant is using it, perhaps that it's not called Tfisas Yad of the Balabais. This is a shaila in the Shas and Tshuvas Dvar Avraham. Continues the next Mishnah. We've had this Mishnah a few times already earlier in the Masechta. Hamaniach beisoy v'holach lishbois b'ir acheres. If somebody left his house on Shabbos, and before Shabbos he went to visit out of the city, he went to a different city. So echad nachri, whether it's a nachri who left the city, ve'echad Yisrael, or whether it's a Jew who normally, had he been here on Shabbos, he would have had to have been part of the Eruv Chatzeres, but he went to a different city. Harezeh oiser, divra mer. Mayor's opinion is that this person who is not here on Shabbos still prohibits. And in the case of the Goy, you would have to rent the Rishus from the Goy. In the case of the Yisrael, he would have to become part of the Eruv Chatzeres, or he'd have to be Mevatel's Rishus. Why, says Rashi? Because Rav Meir holds that Dira Beloy Balim Shma Dira, a home without someone actually residing there, if it's owned by you, then you prohibit, whether you're a Goy, whether you're a Jew. Rav Yehuda, however, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Oimer, Einoi Oiser. Neither the Goy nor the Jew, if they were away from Shabbos, would prohibit on the other residents. Rai, Rashi says, because Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that if someone is not here for Shabbos, that's not called a residence, that would prohibit on the other residence. Rabbi Yossi makes he distinguishes between a goy and a Jew. Nachri Eiser, if the Nachri is not here for Shabbos, he does prohibit. However, Yisrael Eino Eiser, the Jew would not prohibit. What is the reason that a Jew is different than a goy? She'ein derech Yisrael lovoy b'Shabbos. It's not the usual way of the goy, of the Jew rather, to come back on Shabbos once he has gone away. So Rashi explains that Rabbi Yossi is of the same opinion that dira, a dira which doesn't have the person living there on Shabbos, is lav shmo dira. It's not called a residence that would prohibit on the other residence. However, by a goy, we're always worried that he will come back on Shabbos. However, if the Jew leaves on Shabbos, then we say he's already going to stay in the other house, and mimela he doesn't aser on the other residence. Rab Shimon Oimer, Rab Shimon says, Afilo hiniach beisoy, even if he left his house, v'holoch lishbois etzel bitoy bo'isoy ir, he went in the same city to his daughter, Einoy Oyser, he doesn't aser on the residence of that particular chotzer from where he normally resides. Why? Shekvar hisi amiliboy. He already took it out of his mind that he's going to be in his regular home on Shabbos. He dismissed it from his mind. He has in his mind that I am staying by my daughter on Shabbos, and therefore the Jew does not aser on the residence of his normal chotzer that he lives in. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav, halachic Rav Shimon. The halach is like the last shita that we learned in the Mishnah, like Rav Shimon. However, there's one provision. V'davka bitoy, if you'll notice the words of Rav Shimon says, even if you left your house and you went to live by your daughter, he doesn't say any, you went to live by your son. What is the difference? Aval benoy loy. If he went to his son, his married son on Shabbos in a different part of the city, then he would aser. Because it seems to be there's a difference. If you go to your daughter, then you don't have any mind to come back on Shabbos. But if you're going to your son, in the back of your mind, you're thinking, maybe I will come back on Shabbos. What's the difference between a son or a daughter? So the answer is, because a son has a daughter-in-law, and a daughter has a son-in-law. So the Gemara explains, the Amri Inshi people say, Navach Bach Kalba, if a dog barked at you, and the dog here is referring to your son-in-law, oh, go in. You'll even though your son-in-law is barking at you, but you'll be able to make amends. You'll be able to live out at least for that Shabbos, and you're not going to go back to your home. But Navach Ba Gurisa. But if the female dog barked at you, in other words, your son's wife, your daughter-in-law, Oive, then you're in trouble. You're not gonna make it through to Shabbos. So Puk, leave, because if your daughter-in-law starts up with you, you're not going to make it. And therefore, in the back of your mind, even if you're brave enough to try to go there for Shabbos, but in the back of your mind, I might have to leave in the middle of Shabbos, and therefore, you aser. And then Rav Shimon would agree that you aser. Of course, not all situations are like this. The Gemara is saying a possible situation. Continues the Mishnah. Bor Shebein Shtei Chatzeres. We've had a similar shaila earlier in the Masechta when you have water which was outside of two tchumen. And here, it's not outside of two tchumen, but it's a cistern, a pit of water that is between two chatzeres. Each chatzer made an Aruva chatzeres by itself for its residence, but the two chatzeres did not make for each other. And therefore, if you take from a common board that's right in the middle, smack in the middle between the two chatzeres, there is a danger that you may be taking water, which is on the other side of the pit, and you'll be taking that water, which you're not allowed to take, and you'll be carrying it into your chatzer. So what do you do in such a situation? So there we have here a machlokas. Says the Mishnah, Ein v'malim v'menu v'Shabbos. You cannot fill up your bucket on Shabbos from the well. Ella im kein osu le'mechitza gevoy asar tvachim. Unless you made a mechitza, a division, which is high at least 10 tvachim. And where do you put this mechitza? Do you put it in the water? Do you put it on top of the water? You put it on top of the well? So the Gemara says, Bein Lamata, whether you put it underneath. We don't know what underneath means. Rashi tells us, Mefarish B'Gemara. We're going to find out what this means in the Gemara. Or even, Bein Mitoich Ugnoi, or you put it within in the lip of the well. So Rashi explains that if you're putting it in the lip, within the lip of the well, means that you have water in the well. Above the water, you have a cavity of air space until you get to the top of the lip. So if you put the, you construct the 10 tfachim mechitza under the lip of the well, but let's say on top of the water. So Rashi says it would be constitute a good mechitza. We would consider, based on the principle which we've learned before of good achiz, Rashi says, good achiz mechitza, we would make an imaginary mechitza from where the wooden or the reed mechitza ends. We would make an imaginary, a halachic mechitza going down all the way into the water, and that would be sufficient to be considered a mechitza separating the two halves of the well. Now, it's important, I think, to speak out at this point, the top Tosfos, Divrei HaMashgal Derivi Maya. Tosfos says that the entire mechitza that we are speaking about here is not a real mechitza to prevent the water going from one half of the well to the other. Because as we've learned before in the Masechta, even if a person were to construct a iron mechitza, it's almost impossible that there's no seepage. If that's what we were worried about, then no mechitza would help. To construct a iron mechitza within a well, even that, the Gemara tells us before on Daf Mem Chesamid Aleph, which I think we had the occasion to learn together, it'll seep through. So we're not, that's not what we're discussing. We're not discussing to make it impossible for the water to go from one half, one side to the other. Rather, we're talking about to show, to construct some kind of mechitza where people will realize we have to be careful that we shouldn't at least lechatchila take water from the other side. If it happens that water came in, we're going to see, Rashi brings down, and we had this earlier in the Masechta, kal hu sheikilu chachamim etzol mayim, that by water, we have a kula, that we go a little lenient with people in order for them to take this very valuable substance of water, which is so necessary and vital for life, that the chacham were mekel in many halachs. For example, Rashi says here, they said good achiz, that you don't have to make a mechitza all the way down right to the ground of the pit. Continues the Gemara, Mishnah, Rav Shimon Gamliel Oimer. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, where do you have to construct this 10 tefachim mechitza? Beishamimar milmati, you have to do it underneath. Again, we don't know what underneath exactly means. Ubeisilar milmala, you have to do it on top. Again, we don't exactly know what milmala means. We will see that in the Gemara. Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, loite mechitza gedoyle min akoysu shebeneim. If you have a wall that was constructed earlier for a division between the two chatzeros, and it's going from one end of the width of the chatzah to the other end, and in the middle it passes over this well, so what do you have to go and construct a new mechitza? If the wall is there, that itself should be enough to be considered a mechitza to divide between the two. So according to Yehuda, you don't have to construct a new construction to make a division. You could use an existing wall, and that itself will be considered a division. What the svar of Rabbi Yehuda is, we will see in the Gemara, and we will also see why the other shittas disagree with Rabbi Yehuda, and they hold no, you have to construct a mechitza for the specific purpose of making this division between the two halves. Begins the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna. Now we're going to define and explain what is Lamata and what does Lamala mean. Lamata, Lamata, Mamish. Lamaila, Lamaila, Mamish. So the Machlokes Beisham and Beisil, according to Rav Huna, is that Lamata means really Lamata, which Rashi explains to mean it goes up to the surface of the water. It doesn't go into the water. According to Rav Huna, this mechitza never touches the water. Lamata means it go. According to Rav Huna, we're dealing with the cavity of air from the lip until the surface of the water. Let's say there's 20 tefachim to the pit, and you have 10 tefachim of water, and you have 10 tefachim of empty space. So Lamata is right on top of the water at the bottom of the 10 tefachim of empty space, and Lamaila is right on the top of the 10 tefachim of empty space, right under the lip. This is how Rav Huna understands the Machlokes Beishami Ubeis Hillel. And in the Sefer, you could see it on picture number 292. continues the Gemara, v'zeh v'zeh b'boyer, and both of them are inside the pit. There's nothing on top of the pit, and there's nothing in the water. It's in that cavity space between the top of the pit and the water surface. V'Rabbi Yehuda Amar, and Rabbi Yehuda, he disagrees in Rav Hanan, he says, l'mato, l'mato min amayim. You know what l'mato means according to Beis Shammai? You have to go down into the water. That's what all the way on the ground of the pit, where the water is. Down to the ground of the pit. Lamaila, what does Lamaila mean? Lamaila minamayim, right on top of the surface of the water. So Rashi points out that Maila de Rav Yehuda humata de Rav Huna. The Maila which Rav Yehuda speaks about, which is right above the surface of the water, that's in fact what we just said from Rav Huna was considered Lamata. Now the Gemara is going to ask questions on Rav Yehuda. Amale Rav Bar Rav Chana Labai Yehuda Amar Rav Yehuda Lamata Lamata minamayim. What did Rabbi Yehuda say, pshat in Beis Shammai? That you need lamata means all the way down on the floor, maishno lamata mamish deloy. Why didn't he like the first pshat of Rav Huna, of lamata mamish? And what do we say lamata mamish means? On the surface, mamish at the bottom of the cavity, of the airspace. But it's on top, it's hovering on top of the water, it's not touching the water. So why didn't you like that pshat of Rav Huna? Why, Deloy? Why didn't you like it? Arivimaya, because underneath the water is getting mixed up from both sides, and you feel that you need a mechitz at least to show that you're trying to separate one half of the bore from the other half. If so, lamatam and amayim nami harivimaya, what are you gaining? And the Gemara now thought that where are the 10 tfachim of the mechitza according to Beis Shammai in Rav Yehuda's pshat of lamatam and amayim? It's on the surface of the bor. Well, what happened? We gave a case of the bor having water for 10 tfachim. And what happens if the bor has water for 20 tfachim? So then you have a mechitza of 10 tfachim on the floor of the bor, and then above the 10 tfachim, you have water on top that's mixing. So why is your pshat better? If you didn't like the pshat of Rav Huna, why, Rabbi Yehuda, is your pshat better? The water is mixing from one half to the other. Amar Lei said to him, Loi Shami Lachodam Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Didn't you hear what Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav? Umatu ba Mishum Rav Chiyah, and some say it in the name of Rav Chiyah. Tzarech Sheyiru Roshim Shel Kanim Lamalim and Amayim Tefach. That the Roshim Shel Kanim, we're using Kanim as an example, doesn't have to be made of reeds. It could be made of wood or iron, whatever. He's making an example. You put in a mechitza of reeds in the water, but 1 second, there has to be at least one Tefach that is above the surface of the water. Now, there's a machlokes here, Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi says it means it has to start at the floor level, the ground level, and it has to go up as high as the water goes, and then stick out from the water one tefach. So what he's saying is, I didn't like the pshat that lamata means hovering above the water. According, my pshat is that it goes throughout the entire water, at least that's how Rashi learns, and it sticks out one tefach. So everybody can see there's a hecker that the two sides are not together, that they are separated. Tosfos says you don't, according to this halacha, you don't need it to be from the floor of the pit, but rather it's only 10 tefachim. Let's say the water is 20 tefachim. All you need is a mechitza 10 tefachim, and you need one more tefach to stick up above the water. V'su, I have another kasha on Rav Yehuda. Hodom Rav Yehuda lamaila, lamaila min amayim. Rav Yehuda said, what does lamaila mean according to Beis Hillel? It means that it is hovering above the water. Maishno lamaila mamish deloy. Why didn't you like the pshat of Rav Huna? That lamaila means right on top of the cavity, right under the lip of the pit. You didn't like that pshat. Why? Because if it's all the way up on top of the pit, the Ariva Maya, so what's going on in the water? The water's all mixed together. And you have to show a hecker that there's a separation. So your pshat is also no good. Lamaila minamayim nami Ariva Maya. So what is it better if you're learning pshat in Beis Hillel lamaila, that it's hovering above the water? So again, underneath the hovering, underneath where the mechitz of 10 tefachim ends, it's the water's all mixed together. Amarlei, like Shamil Lachadatani Yaakov Karchino, Tsar Shayishka Rosha Kanim Bemaim Tefach. No, you didn't hear what Rabbi Karchino said. He said that if you learn according to Rabbi Yehuda in Beis Hillel, Lamaila means hovering, however, it's going into the water at least a Tefach. So it comes out at the end of the Gemara that according to Rav Huna, the Mechitza never touches the water. And this is how Tosfos Divrei Maskil Tsar Shayiru explains it. According to Rav Huna's Pshat in the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, it's always above the water, and the heker you need is above the water. Masha Ankin, according to Rav Yehuda in the Machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, it's in the water. Either it starts below the water, Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, as we mentioned before, and pops up above the water at Tefach, or it's above the water and sinks below the water at Tefach. But either way, it takes into account the water. It uses the water in some degree. Afraid to give more another kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. Velahodom Rabbi Yehuda. That which Rabbi Yehuda said. Koirar bo. If you have a koirar that's wide for tvachim, materis bechurva. If there was a ruin, and all that was left of the ruin was a hanging mechitza, that would permit a person to walk around in this churva. They could consider it like a rishus ha-yachad to walk around. A koira for Rashi explains that this is going with pi tikra yorid v'soysim, but Rashi puts together the two halachas. The halacha that we're going to learn on Amud Beis, which is, we've had it before, the concept of mechitza tluya. You have a mechitza that's hanging. Let's say part of the mechitza broke off, and you only have the upper part of the mechitza hanging. So Rashi says that this pshat of Rabbi Yehuda koira arba is matarin Churva goes with that halacha of mechitza tluya, and since we come out that mechitza tluya is not a good mechitza, we disagree with Rabbi Yishmael bar Rabbi Yossi, who holds that a mechitza tluya is good not only on water, it's even good on dry land. We disagree, so Rashi says we won't hold of this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda of Kaira either. Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that Kaira has nothing to do with mechitza tluya. Kaira is halacha of pi tikra. The halacha of Kaira is halacha of pi tikra yared v'saisim. We consider the Kaira like a roof, and there's a halacha that the roof goes down on both sides, and that's the halacha of pi tikra yared v'saisim. And in other words, Tosfos points out on Amud Beis that in mechitza tluya there's a machlokes, but in pi tikra yared v'saisim there is no machlokes. We'll see from the Rishonim that pi tikra is a better mechitza than a mechitza tluya. A P-ticker, which is a solid beam, Tosfos points out, has nothing to do with mechitza. You don't have a mechitza tluya, you have no mechitza. All you have is a halachic mechitza. But in fact, since on top there's a huge big beam, a strong beam, that mechitza is even considered better. Where you have a machlaikis, whether mechitza tluya is good or not, by pitik or yarvit tosfos, you have the machlaikis. So the machlaikis here, Rashi and Tosfos, but it seems the pashtus is like Tosfos, that it's a halacha here of pitikra, and has nothing to do with the machlaikis of mechitza tluya. V'Rav Nachman Amar Avua, he went one step further and he said, and now we turn to Daf Pei Vav Amud Beis, Koira Arbo Materis B'Mayim. By the way, just getting back for a second to what we learned on Amud Alpha about Koira, why do you need four Tvachim? Why does it have to be big? Koira Arbo, four Tvachim. So according to Rashi's Pshat, that has to do with Mechitza Tluya, it is, Rashi says that no Mechitza works unless it is encompassing a space of four Tvachim. If it's encompassing less than four Tvachim, it's not called the mechitza. That's according to Rashi's understanding. However, according to Tosfos, that it's a halacha of pi tikra yarv v'saisim has nothing to do with mechitza tzluya. There, the pshat is, when do I say the halacha of pi tikra yarv v'saisim? Only if the width is four tvachim. Now we learned another halacha, that kaira arba materis b'mayim, that a kaira of four is mater b'mayim. Now here's an important thing to point out, which we're going to get the whole sugi here. The kaira is not in the water. The kaira isn't even in the airspace of the what? In the air cavity of the bore. It's on top of the bore. It's lying right across the bore. And yet we say it's good. Well, and why this will be, we will see in 1 minute. What's the Gemara's kasha now? Hoka'az lidli ledach gisa. Umaisi. The bucket that you're using to draw the water from the well is going to go on the other side of the mechitza that you've established here through this four tvachim with kaira. So Tosfos says that Rashi explains this kasha only on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that the mechitza has to go into the water, whether it's Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, but either way it must go into the water. How could he be matar akaira, which is on top of the boyer? But like Rav Huna, Tosfos says in Rashi that it's very good. Even though one can ask, what do you mean? According to Rav Huna, it at least had to go, the mechitza had to go where? In the airspace. If you remember, it said it had to go in the underneath the lip. That's what we learned. Besoich ugnoi. Now this kaira is not even underneath the lip. The answer is that the kaira, the Rush says, is a better type of mechitza. This solid, not fragile, we said it could be even a condom made out of reeds, a mechitza tluya. This is a gesunt, a strong kaira. So this has a better status, even though nothing's hanging down. So in other words, Rav Huna, who holds that you never have to get to the water, so he's not worried about the dli going from one side to the other in the water. Why? Because all he requires is that there's a hecker above the water that I am not l'chatchila gonna fish my bucket in the other one l'chatchila directly. If it happens that I get in my bucket some water, I get it. But I let everyone see, look, there's a hecker here, and the chachamim were makel by water. By water we find kalhu shekilu chacham. So they were makel. And a beam is a better type of mechitza, and that's why it would be good according to Rav Huna. But Rav Yehuda, who requires that in some way, whether it's Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel, the mechitza has to go into the water. So when the mechitza is going into the water, even a tefach like Beis Hillel, it's going to stop the dli from moving over to the other side. So even though we said on Amud Aleph from Tosfos, you don't need a steel mechitza, because we're not trying to make an impossibility for water to seep through from one side to the other, because then even steel wouldn't work. But Rabbi Yehuda holds, I have to do some positive pa'ula to try as much as possible to stop things from moving from one side to the other. I at least have to have a tefach in the water. So, loit Rabbi Yehuda, how can a kaira work? Zok de Gemara. Kim lul rabban and dein dli mahal chayes rabat tfachim. No, even according to Yehuda, he would be maskimir. Why? Because he knows the rabbanim know that they established that a dli won't move over more than four tfachim. So what are you worried? You're going to get water from the other side. You won't get it. It won't go more. Afraid the Gemara, but what about Tachas Karamiya or Arivimaya? Tosfos says the Gemara had rayas that you are allowed to get the water that's under the Kara, even though there's a mixture from both sides of water. You're allowed to. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it should not be permitted, because Rabbi Yehuda requires some sort of basic mechitza to prevent such a going from one to the other. And as according to, in other words, the way Tosfos explains it, and we see it from Rashi, the third line of the wide lines on top, says Rabbi Yehuda hefsik mechitza boy. In other words, according to Rav Huna, all you need is heker mechitza. You have to show that l'chatchil, I'm not going to go to the other side. According to Rav Yehuda, no, you have to put it somewhat in the water. Why? Because I have to try a little bit to make a pu'ula, at least, that the dli should not move over to the other side. I at least have to have one tefach according to Beis Hillel, or ten tefachim in the water according to Beis Shammai, to stop it from going. So how can a kaira work on top of the bee, on top of the whole pit? You're going to get the water that's underneath the kaira, which wouldn't be a problem like Rav Huna. Rav Huna could be mutter, but according to Rav Yehuda, it should be aser. Ela, the Gemara, Rashi's Gairis, Mishum, the Kalu Shekilucham Mamayim. It must be a kula in water. So the Meforshim explained that Rashi Shita is Ela. We retract. What are we retracting? Not like we said before that it's going according to Rav Yehuda. It won't work out this halach like Rav Yehuda. Ella, we have to go to Rav Huna. Like Rav Huna, it's a kula that they allowed by water, that all you need is a heker above the water, and that's why a kaira is also good. Other Rishonim take out the word Ella, and they say there is no retraction. The Gemara is going in Rav Yehuda. The Gemara is saying, even according to Rav Yehuda, there's a kula that the Rabbanim were makel in water plus kora. And it comes out beautiful. The Rush says, just like in Rav Huna, you had to say that Korah is a better mechitza, and that's why you didn't even need it in the airspace. not only not in the water, but not even in the airspace, which Rav Huna normally requires, the airspace at least, but you said a kara above is good. Not only will we say that chiddush in Rav Huna, according to Rav Huna, we will say that chiddush even in Rabbi Yehuda. Kara is a better type of mechitza, and in mail it's good, even if it doesn't even go into the airspace. So we're not going to go with Ella, we're just going to say, kal hushikilucha mamayim, in order to get water, there's a kula, plus you have a kora, and even Rabbi Yehuda will be moed by kara, but by mechitza, there Rabbi Yehuda says it's not a good mechitza, and therefore you have to put it directly in the water. Kidaboy minei Rabbi Tavla mirav. Rabbi Tavla asked the question, Rav, mechitza tzluya mao shetat bechurva. Could I use a mechitza tzluya in a rune? Could I carry a dalet amis in the rune based on a mechitza tzluya? Amarle, ein mechitza tzluya materes el b'mayim, a mechitza tzluya only is mater in water. Kalushi kilacham b'mayim, the Rabbanim would make them water because it's life necessity, but otherwise on dry land they would not make them with a mechitza tzluya. On Rav Yehuda, loyte mechitza. Now we come to Rav Yehuda Shita. Rav Yehuda l'chayra argues on what we said before. Rav Yehuda holds you don't even have to construct a mechitza for the purpose of showing a division in the water. You can use an existing kaisel. So two chedushim. A, you don't have to make a special construction, and B, you don't have to have it at all within the confines of the pit. Even if it goes over the pit, it's good. Amar Rav Rav Chanan Rav Yochanan. Rav Yehuda b'shitas Rav Yosi. Amar Rav Yehuda held like Rav Yosi. The Amar Rav Yosi holds mechitza tzluya materes afilu by abasha. Not only is it in kula in water, but even over dry land, even if you didn't make it beferish and it doesn't go into the lip of the boar, it is good an existing wall. And Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi will hold the same sheet. What's the sheet of Rabbi Yosi that Rabbi Yehuda holds? Like the time we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Sukkah, Hamishal shel defanis mamala mamata. Somebody wove the defanis from the top of a sukkah to the bottom. So the bach is goyres im gevoyos min ha'aretz gimel tvachim. If this weaving does not go all the way down to the ground and it's above the ground three tvachim, psula. Why? Rashi explains, because this is a place where gedim are able, where goats are able to run through, and that prohibits the as we find in picture 296, that prohibits the, it's not a good mechitza. But, mimat kalamala, if you did it from the bottom to the top, in gevoyes yutvachim ksheira, if it is high 10 tvachim, it is kosher, because it's not more than loved from the ground. It's starting from the ground going up 10 tvachim. So the Tanakam is mechalik where the 10 tvachim are. Is it from top to bottom with an area open of more than 3 tvachim psula? If it's from the bottom to the top 10 tvachim, it's kosher. Rav Yosi says there's no chilek. Kishem shemol mato lamalo asora de bachskars tvachim kachmol malo mato asora. It doesn't matter whether you're starting the 10 from the ground up or whether you're starting it from the roof down. And even if there'll be a big space that gedoyim can go through, it makes no difference. In both cases, it is kosher, because Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, Rabbi Yosi's opinion obviously is that mechitza tzluya, a hanging mechitza, is mutter based on the principle of good achas. It's not just a kula that we say by water, but all over it is a good mechitza. So the Gemara wanted to equate the Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah holds like Rabbi Yosi, the Mishnah Masech Tesukah, v'loyi. It's really not a comparison. Loy Rabbi Yehuda sov like Rabbi Yosi, v'loy Rabbi Yosi sov like Rabbi Yehuda. Neither has to hold like each other. Why? Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah only sov like Rabbi Yosi, at kan lekam Rabbi Yehuda. When was Rabbi Yehuda matir the existing wall by the Eruv Chatzeres going over the pit? El of Eruv Chatzeres to Rabbanan. That's only a din to Rabbanan. There I matir mechitza tzluy. Abba sukkah de reis aloy. But sukkah which Allah of the rice, and maybe Rabbi Yehuda would disagree with Rabbi Yosi, and he would hold that it mechitza tzluya is not good. V'loy Rabbi Yosi tov like Rabbi Yehuda. At kan l'kam Rabbi Yosi. When does Rabbi Yosi say by sukkah that mechitza tzluya is good? El b'sukkah d'isra aseu. What's the worst that you could be over if you didn't have a good sukkah? You're over on a mitzvah aseh. You ate outside of a sukkah. You had a sukkah psula. You're over an aseh. Avos Shabbos d'isra skila. We know that an oinish of something shows how severe it is. By Shabbos you're dealing with an isra skila, even though Rashi says we're dealing with aruva chatzeres, which is only derabon. But called the tikkun rabbanan came the rice the tikkun. So when you're speaking about Shabbos, you always have to be machmer like the din Torah, which is an isra skila. So even though Rabbi Yosi is matir mechitza tzluya b'sukkah, maybe he wouldn't be matir by Shabbos, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi don't necessarily agree with each other. I v'im toimer, and maybe you'll ask me oisay ma'ase, that famous story shenaseh b'tzipori that was done in Tzipori where they used the mechitza tzluya, as we'll soon see what the story is. Al pi mi nase, who paskin that? We know that Rabbi Yossi was the Rav, Rashi says, of Tzipori. And Rav Yossi, we're telling you now that maybe Rav Yossi only holds it by Sukkah, but by Shabbos, he doesn't hold Mechitza Tluya. So who paskened over there you could use a Mechitza Tluya? Loyapi Rav Yossi. It was not then Api Rav Yossi Nasa, the Bach says. El Api Rav Yishmol Rav Yossi. Rashi says after Rav Yossi died, and Rav Yishmol Rav Yossi took over, then he paskened against his father, apparently, that you could use a Mechitza Tluya by Abasha. The Chiasa Rav Dimi Amar, Rav Dimi came and said a story. They forgot to bring a Sefer Torah to the shul on Shabbos, and it was in a person's house, and it was in a chatzir, and there was no Eruv Chatzeris. How were they going to get from the house to the shul when there was no Eruv Chatzeris? Lamacher Porsa Sadna Lamudim. They put sheets on the Amudim. And they were mechitza tluyas, they didn't reach the ground, and they considered that good enough. They brought Sefer Torah and they read it in shul. Rashi explains that they weren't bothered with the Eruv Chatzeris because the only door was from the person's house into the passageway of the mechitzas right into the shul. So the other people's houses did not prohibit this chaser. Frey the Gemara Porsu, they put it on the Amudim Lechatchila Mishari. How could you do that? Va'kol Moidim Shein Oisin Oil Aroy B'Shabbos. We had this a few times in Masechta Shabbos, that poikin, can you put on a shutter on an existing oil, so that everybody, Rav Lazar and Rabbanu, argue, are moited that you can't make an oil aroy b'Shabbos. The shaila is machloikis, whether you can add on to a temporary oil. But here, l'chayra, they were making a temporary oil l'chatchila. How could you do it? Ela matzu sadin aprusta amudim. Not that they made it, they found it that way. Ve'viyu sefer Torah v'koraboy. And whose psak was this? Not Rav Yossi, but rather Rav Shmuel Rav Yossi. Halacha l'may. Of course, we do not paskin, as Rashi said on Amud Aleph, we do not paskin like Rav Shmuel Bar Yossi. The only time you can use a mechitza tluya is only by mayim, kalhu shikilacham b'mayim, but by yabosha, you cannot use a mechitza tluya.